This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom. In the 1980s movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas plays a ruthless corporate executive who, in a speech to his cronies, says, "Greed is good." That was the mantra of the Reagan Revolution and remained the mantra of Wall Street and of every president and Congress since then. In the last 2 weeks, this decades-old philosophy of allegedly laissez-faire capitalism crashed headfirst into the wall of bankruptcy. What happened? First came the deregulation. Two acts abolished nearly all regulation and safety net rules that were in place since the Great Depression of the 1930s. First, the Commodity Futures Modernization Act of 2000 deregulated banks from futures trading, which directly led to the mess we're in now. Second, the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act destroyed the Depression-era barrier to the merger of stockholders, banks, and insurance companies by repealing the Glass-Steagall Act. Together, these two acts, pushed through by Senator Graham and supported by John McCain, put an effective end to all regulation of corporate financial transactions. The pieces were now in place for the next series of steps that resulted in the mess on Wall Street today. First, one of the side effects of deregulation and of governments refusing to pay attention to Wall Street came in the form of new inventions for creating capital. These new instruments were called hedge funds and leveraged buyouts, which were used to create quick wealth through higher yields for those who invented them. In many cases, such as in Lehman Brothers, the temptation to quick yield proved too much, and companies put far more capital into these unsound investment practices than the companies were worth. Second, homes were bought by the millions with nothing down and/or at subprime mortgage rates. Third, homeowners with subprime and risky mortgages began to default. Fourth, banks were forced to sell stock to raise new capital to cover their losses from their bad mortgages. But the creative financing of leveraged buyouts had lost their value, and banks were stuck holding the empty bags. Fifth, the government begins to bail out those companies who used rather shady means of making profit in the form of collateralized debt obligations, otherwise known as CDOs. This began with the government bailout of the savings and loan meltdown of 1987, so that now our government is totally wrapped into the financial sector and will or must do whatever it can to save that sector. As has been said many times already over the past 2 weeks, we have privatized wealth and socialized losses. The next issue we want to address concerns possible solutions to this mess. On that issue, neither Obama nor McCain offer us much in the way of specifics. From what I can piece together from their scattered statements, here is what each seems to want to offer us. John McCain says he subscribes to the Ronald Reagan economic philosophy that the free market works best to guide the economy safely. As long as there is economic growth, all is well. Government's job, says McCain, is to promote that economic growth by cutting taxes and by deregulating businesses. To that end, McCain has pledged to make permanent the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy, along with pushing for additional such cuts, including a 25% to 35% reduction in the corporate tax rate. Regarding the mortgage crisis, McCain sides with George Bush in simply encouraging private lenders to refinance those who are struggling to pay their mortgages. Obama, on the other hand, has his own problems. First, his chief economic advisor is Robert Rubin, former Citicorp executive committee chair, who was partly behind and who benefited handsomely from the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. His vice presidential running mate, Joe Biden, is part of the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac mess, as he has invested in them and recalcitrant on supporting their regulation. Aside from that, Obama favors more regulation of the markets and talks about fair taxation. To that end, Obama pledges to cut taxes to lower and middle income families while raising them on those who make more than $250,000 a year. To those who are struggling with their mortgages, Obama promises a fund to help them. Obama's tax cuts would dig us just $5.4 trillion deeper in debt, significantly less than McCain's $7.4 trillion hole. What neither candidate talks about, and what we are really in need of, are some courageous solutions, which in my mind include three things. First, we need tough regulation of the financial markets, and this means putting some tough overseers into the Securities and Exchange Commission to police the shenanigans we have seen over the last 15 years. Second, we need new laws protecting homeowners from the increasing rates of foreclosure, at least by helping to restructure their loans if they are having difficulty. Third, we need to separate Social Security and pension plans from the financial markets, or they will be gone by the end of the first term of the next president, whoever that is. Finally, I would personally like to see the people who profited due to their greed have to either pay back the money they made at the expense of the rest of us or be put in jail. The fact that those who perpetrated such greed and ignorance in place of responsibility and competence are allowed to walk away with their ill-gotten gain makes the government response so far look as anemic as Oliver Hardy's classic movie ending, "Here's another nice mess you've gotten us into." Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.